Right.
Another Shabbos Kodesh early. We said the weeks take, the days take long, with a week's smile should fly. You know, for an Ishpanimi, for Ishpanimiim or Bnei Aliyah, like we're trying to be, you know, and the end of the week is when we get fired up the most, because now the goal is here. People think sometimes that, you know, Thursday night Mishmar, oh, we're there, now I could. The goal is here, we're getting to Shabbos Kodesh now. There's no better way to prepare for Shabbos Kodesh than already when we're holding by Erev Shabbos Mamash. So, there's, again, like we've had so far, every parsha, Bereishis, Nochlecha, Ve'era. Every parsha is loaded, especially Chayisara. It's a parak that has almost 70 psukim in it. There's a lot to say there. Parsha Shiduchim, 70 people come to Hebron the Shabbos, never been able to be there. But, you know, there's obviously a rash going on. Chayisara, so much to talk about. But one nekuda I want to speak about, especially with what's going on in the yeshiva now, is that there's the week everyone's, Baruch Hashem, learning a lot of Gemara. I'm learning a lot. Kids who haven't been in the basement yet are learning a lot. So I want to just give a nekuda to Mechazik, ask the Mechazik just to always have in front of us, focus on Avodas Hashem, not to get stuck in Pratim. That lasts for a couple of days, a couple of weeks, maybe even a couple of years. Something that's going to build a yisod for us for life. So let's go to the towards the end of the parsha, where it speaks about with Yitzchak Avinu. That says, "Vatakam Rivka v'Narosa v'Tirkavna al Gemalim v'Telachna Achareya Ish v'Kach Eved Es Rivka v'Yilach." Right, when the meaning of Rivka and Yitzchak, the pasuk says in Perek Chav Dalad, pasuk Samach Beis, the Yitzchak bo mi bo mi ber lechai roi. It says Yitzchak came from a place called Be'er L'chai Roi, like we saw last week's parsha with Hagar and Yishmael. He was in Eretz HaNegev. So if you look at the Sfarno, Sfarno quotes on this pasuk, Bo mi Be'er L'chai Roi. This is what he says, Chevron. L'spalal b'makom shebo nishmas tefilah shifchaso. That he went to the place where the tefilah of the shifcha, who's the shifcha? Hagar was answered. Bekodem she'espalel, and even before Yitzchak started davening, kvar nishlam inyanu becharan v'kirva ishto levo. Even before he started davening for a wife, it was already, we know what was already done. It was already done. His wife has already signed and coming back. Right? Al derech, like it says in Yishayahu, terem yikra'u v'aniyana. Before you even call out to me, I already answer you. Meaning that what? The Yitzchak went to go daven for a wife. But what happened? His wife was on the way coming back from already. So what happened? What do we see from this? That even before he started even davening, Hashem already had his back. Hashem already covered the whole thing for him. The concept of what? Term you crow before you even call? Vani ena. I already answer you.
Does that mean that if he didn't call?
Pash this. If Mikhailim also. We'll get to that. Good question though. So if we go also a little bit earlier in the Parsha, in that same parak, the very beginning. Parak Chaf Dalet Pasuk Aleph. Yeah. Pasuk Aleph. Yeah, does that make sense? Pasuk Aleph? No. Oh, Pasuk Aleph. Where's Terem Kila? Where's the Svarno here? Ah, here. Where is it? Nuchever, where's that other Pasuk? Pasuk says, also with Eliezer. Same concept. Right? We're also going to go to this corner here. Let me just find it. Oh, here. Perfect. Perek Tazvav. It says, Vayihi hu terem ki lo ledaber v'inei Rivka yotzeis. It says what? Eliezer came. Right? Eliezer came. Listen, Boreolam hooked me up. Yischus Avram hooked me up. Right? It says, terem ki lo ledaber. Before he even finished speaking, what happened? V'inei Rivka yotzeis. Rivka is already coming out. So let's go to the Sforno again. What do you say? Terem ki lo? Adayin lo ki lo. He didn't even finish speaking. Al derech vaya terem yikra'u v'aniyena. It says it again. Two times in one parak. The what? Again, the derech, what? Before you call, I come and answer. So what's this happening? Why do we see this two times in one parsha? As far as it goes, twice. Terem yikra'u, before you even call, v'aniyena. How does that work for Avodah Hashem? What does that do with our Avodah Hashem? The Indian that what? That before I even call out to Hashem, I even daven for what I need, Hashem already answers me. So let's just go to a second for the Mikros Gedolos. It's Perek in, it's in Navi Yishayahu. Perek Samech Hei, Pasuk of Da, right? Pasuk says, Vayah Terem Yikro, Vani Aneh, Ode Hei Medav, Vani Yishma. Right? So look at what it says here in Matudas David. Vayah Terem Yikro. Pamim Enelahem. There are certain times that I answer them. B'malo Shelos Livavam. I even answer what they have in their hearts. Ad lo yikro lispal b'keh. Even before they even called out to me. Again, building the soul that what we don't sometimes don't even say anything, and Hashem has it covered. And if you look at the bear ha'inyin, so the same thing. He says what they don't even need to daven sometimes. Before they even saying the words, it's not even needed. Hashem already answers you. So this is kind of an extreme Indian. What does this mean? Isn't everything I'm taught that if I want something, I have to daven for it? It's the only taught that I have to do, and then Hashem will answer, right? So what's going on here, Deborah? So we've spoken a lot before how we said that one of the Iker Hadrachas in Avodas Hashem is the Nekuda called Yesh and Ayin. Right? Like we know, like from the B'nai Sasra brings down beautifully that when it says that Chava says that the Nachash, she says Hanachash Hishiani. That what does Hishiani mean? He confused me, he tricked me. So B'nai Sasra says, what's Hishiani? Hishiani also says Yesh and Ayin. That the Nachash confused her in, am I a Yesh or an Ayin? Right, this is the basics. Like it says before Amalek comes onto the scene. It says what? Ayesh Hashem b'kirbenu im Ayin. What do you see there? And then the next one says, Vayabo Amalek. When we have Sfeikos in Yesh and Ayin, then Amalek comes. What does it mean Yesh and Ayin? Yesh means that I make myself something. I think I'm something. Ayin is when I make myself a nothing. When I'm mevatel myself to Hashem. Right? Like just to say a word from the Degamach Me'Ephraim. The grandson of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, also the uncle of Rabbi Nachman, Degel Nachman Ephraim, says like this. So in part Shalach, like we know the word Shalach talks about all the Nevi'im, right? A Navi. Sorry, a Nasi. All the Nasi'im. So he said to take the word Nasi, says Nasi has within it the word Yesh, and also has the word Ayin in it. He says, what does that mean? He says, if a Nasi makes himself a Yesh, then he becomes an Ayin, he becomes nothing. Hashem makes him into nothing. But if a Nasi, a leader, makes himself into an Ayin, then what? Then Hashem makes him into something. Then you become something Chashivas. So the Nekuda is in Avodas Hashem, is what? You always ask Hashem to guide you. Hashem has to guide you. Like we said the whole time in Ladavra Shemori. We said, Horeini Hashem Darkecha. Hashem, you guide me. So that's why it says like this, Terem Kila Ledaber. Right before you even finish speaking. So Terem Kila Ledaber is Gematria, exactly, Horeini Hashem Darkecha. Meaning what? Because how did Eliezer start his trip? He said, B'schus Avram Vinu. Right, Dam Hashem. Hashem, he didn't even Dam Hashem yet to find the perfect one. Like he was still speaking. But what he went saying the what? Horeini Hashem Darkecha. He went B'schus Avram Vinu. We know he grabbed his bris milah before going. Is what? That's the good. The Horeini Hashem Darkecha. Hashem, just show me the way. You don't have to ask your needs. Just say, Hashem, you show me. And that's all I need. Hashem's going to guide you where to go. Then the Iker Nekuda comes down to what? It comes down to Emunah. Is that what? That I realize that Hashem is all capable. He doesn't even need me to do anything. Hashem could do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And Hashem always has my back. To always know that no matter what it is, Hashem has my back. Where's the best example of this in Kol HaTorah Kulo? I thought about this past year. I asked Rubenstein, and I said, it's something that's wild. So what's one of the scariest parshios in the whole Torah? Before you know what happens. Scariest parshios is Balak. Why? Because you have Balak and Bilam, the top two from the team Aklipa, you know? And what are they trying to do? Bilam, they're trying to destroy, Klai Yisrael. Right? We see countless times what's going on, Balak and Bilam. He goes here, Bilam goes here, it doesn't work. Goes here. So let me ask you a question. Yeah, we know the story because we read it. Did Klai Yisrael have any clue what was going on? Did Klai Yisrael try to fight against this at all? We had no clue what was going on. And what was happening behind the scenes? Hashem was stopping this behind the scenes. You know, we didn't even know to daven against this. We had no idea someone was trying to kill us. What was going on? Is that even from behind the scenes, without us even realizing it, what? Hashem was saving our backs. It's one of the most wild things to think about. Someone was mamish on top of us, looking over us, trying to destroy us. Right? You know, we daven sometimes. Just being this bone in there as well. That what? Hashem covered our backs without us even knowing what's going on. You know, we daven sometimes in for Eretz Yisrael, the frat, say Tehillim, a couple years ago with all the stabbings and all the terrorist attacks. And we say, what's the deal? We're davening so much. Why isn't it working? Or for example, with the three boys who were killed a couple years ago, right? Everyone remembers that. Right? All our tefillos, everything for the 3 days. Right? We even have a day now, it's called like Day Achtos here, yeah? What happened to those three boys? They were killed. So what does it look like? It looks like Lamaisa, our tefillos did absolutely nothing. We failed miserably. But again, not to say that we know what happens, but if you look what came from that, is the amount of nisim and aflos that occurred from that, from three karbanos that we had, the thousands upon thousands of people that were saved from that, the fact that they went into Gaza and found thousands of tunnels, the fact that everything else that happened, the fact, everything. So it looks like our tefillos didn't work. We don't realize that how many thousands of people were saved from those tefillos. Every day we don't realize that we have terrorists around us, left and right here. Do you know the amount of times here that out of nowhere, something goes wrong with one of these terrorists? We have no idea the Yeshuas that Hashem gives to us. Why? Because we're so unintuned with that. But the good is what? That you go with Emunah. Is that what? We don't even realize sometimes what's going on. So Terem Yikra'u Vani Ena. Hashem says, sometimes you don't even know to them. And I just want you to know that I have your back. Why? I have Emunah. But the good is we don't realize how much our Emunah itself is Poa. Right? Like Reuven Sin likes to say, in Perek Peches and Tehillim, David Melech says words, V'amunascha Svivo Secha. So what does Svivo Secha mean? My surrounding. So he says, what does it mean, V'amunascha Svivo Secha? He says that through my emuna, that's what my Sviva is. I create my Sviva through my emuna. The one when I'm mishtadal my emuna, when I try to deepen my emuna, that creates my Sviva. So now, it's a little bit hard for us to hear anything about emuna, because we grow up thinking, do you have emuna? Of course I have emuna. What does emuna mean? I believe in Hashem. Right? That's basic to what it is. You don't realize that Rav Rumi always like say that one of the deepest sugyas in Kol HaTorah Kula is Emunah. Everything's Emunah. Right? Like, it goes like this. That if you look in a lot of the Sfarim, Dafka by the Zera Kodesh, the Shabbos, and also by the Havashal and the Kusver, I think half the Torah is this parsha on the Pasuk that says, V'avrim Zakin Bo Bayam. Right, there's a lot of sugyas with that. Bo Bayamim means he brought his days with him. But maybe you could say Va'avrim Zakin Bo Bayamim means that he brought everything into Bayamim. So what's Gematria Bayamim? Right, Avram Zakin Bo Bayamim, that he came into his days. So what's Gematria Bayamim? No, Yaakov Moshe. Oh, close. Ba. Ooh, 102. 102 is Gematria Emunah. If Avram Zakin Bo Bayam means what? He was always coming deeper into his Emunah. That's why, what do we see? Avram striving from 3 years old until 75 years old working. Why? But striving in his Emunah. Is that he was always getting deeper and deeper, meaning Nichnas into his Emunah much deeper. Always. Why? That's the Nekudah of it. Is that to always be going deeper into Emunah. That's why Avram Avinu is called, like it says in the Kudah Maran, he's called Rosh Lema'amina. Because why? Because he's the one, you think it was easy for Avram? He delved so deeply into Emunah to have Emunah. That things for us today that we think are pashut are only because they weren't so pashut back then. You know? But Avinu was mamish mishtadal in his Emunah like crazy. To get to a place of one, Enel Mavado. You can think, you know Enel Mavado? I know for me personally, from when I thought I knew what Enel Mavado was, when I was Shana Bet, from what I, not that I have clarity on it now at all, but how much deeper that sugi of Emunah is now for me is wild. With Emunah, you don't realize how much you can be pole with it. Like if Rubenstein also likes to say, we say in Mizmor Soda, Riyah Shem Kaart, Ibn Hashem Besimcha, how does that parak of Tilm end? Yeah, Va'ad Dor Vador Emunaso, right? That's how it ends. So Rubenstein says, what does it mean Va'ad Dor Vador Emunaso? Is that the Noam Elmach says, when we say Behold Dor Vador in Ashrei, he says, Dor Lador represents Madrigos. Right? So from each Madriga. So Rubenstein say what? Va'ad Dor Vador Emunaso, that each Madriga, you get to a new Madriga, you have to, your Emunah also has to be going back. If you're holding by your Emunah you had 5 years ago, then where are you holding? It says, Va'ad Dor Vador Emunaso means what? That every Madriga I get to, I have to be nichnas deeper into my Emunah. I have to mishtal my Emunah much deeper also. To realize that what? That to realize mamish, that Ternik Ru, Bani Aner, that Hashem could do anything, even without me knowing. And my Emunah is po all that. And just a side note, We know that tzaddikim represent are very shaykh to emunah. Right? You see that before Eliezer went. Well, who is he makasha to? So if you look in the psukim, it says before he left. Where is it? It says before, if you look before Eliezer left, everything he did was about being mekasher himself to Avram Vinu. Right? He says, oh, b'schus Avram Vinu, answer me b'schus Avram. No, I wrote it down somewhere, I thought. Oh, here. Right? Vayomar Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham, hakrei na lefanai yom, v'asei chesed ima Adoni Avraham. What he davened, just that Avram should have it. Why he davened b'schus Avram? So that's one of the best ways for us also to develop deeper into our emunah. Is what? His kashrus tzaddikim. The kashrus of tzaddikim, because they know the derech. We stabbing ourselves tzaddikim, that helps us develop our emunah more. That was just a side note for a second. So the Gemara says like this. Gemara in Shabbos says that when we get up to Shemayim, they're going to ask us a couple of questions. What? Were you koveit in the Torah? And they're going to say this. Were you masu matan be'emunah? So what does that mean, masu matan be'emunah? It means is you do business with, like, faithfully. Right? Maybe you could say like this also. Masa and matan represents doing business. Being mishtad on something. Were you masa matan be'emunah? Means what? Did you work in your emunah? Or did you think emunah was just a small thing? And did you mishtad get deeper in your emunah? You know, you have people here who tell me, a guy told me the other night, that listen, I'm here, I was in some co-ed school last year, and he said to me, listen, like, I don't think I need to stay Shanabet. I was like, okay. He's like, yeah, you know, I think I'm like, I'm very comfortable. Like, I'm gonna learn. I'm like, I'm gonna daven. Like, all this stuff. And I'm like thinking in my mind, I'm like, are you crazy? I mean, you're not even like, you're not even shomer negiah. You know what I mean? You're not even like, what? Yeah, I'm gonna be fine in YU. We don't realize how many people think that Yiddishkeit is such a chitzoniistic thing. No, as long as I learn 10 daf a day, I'm good. No, as long as I learn 40 daf a day, I'm like great. But what? There's no emunah there. There's no primus there. There's no chias there. Don't realize that you could have everything, but if you're missing the nekuda of what of chayim, which Hashem is called chayi chayim, then there's nothing there. And that's emunah. Is what having dveikus to Hashem comes through emunah. Were you mishtadel in your emunah or not? Masa matan be'emunah. How deep did you try to get into it? To mechazik your emunah. So we know, we say, Eitz chayim hi l'machzikim. Right? So the kud is to be dovek to Eitz chayim. Yeah? So Rav Rubenstein always like to say, is that there's Eitz hadas and Eitz chayim. The Eitz hadas represents with a lot of chachma, right? With a lot of intellect. So Eitz chayim represents what? Eitz chayim is represented by emunah. Right? So that's the nekuda of the emunah. Derech Eitz chayim is the inyan of emunah. Right? And that's our whole thing. Our whole nekuda is to dafka be connected to Eitz chayim. Right? Like, there's a lot of Torahs on Purim. At that Purim, we go like this. We have to speak about Purim forever. 114 days until 15 days until Purim, no? Oh, God, Purim. 115 days. Yeah? Maybe, okay, there's less. Look at that. I'm already holding a Purim. I don't even know. But it goes like this. It says, we know that it says by Purim that Chayiv Einish LeBesumei B'Puraya Ad Lo Yada Bin Arar Haman LeBarach Mordechai. Right? So the Nekud is, what is that? You take away your Das, which represents you get rid of the Eitz Das, and now you don't know between Bin Arar Haman LeBarach Mordechai. So now you say, what's the match of Arar Haman? Arar is 207, Haman's 95. What do you get? 502. Right? 502.
I was just going to say
502. 502. Yeah? So 502 is Arar Haman. What's the match of Barach Mordechai? Baruch is 228, Mordechai is 274. What do you get?
The same thing.
502. Is that Baruch
Mordechai.
Baruch Mordechai and Arar Haman, but they're both Gematria 502. Why? What else is Gematria 502?
It's a chayim.
Close. 502 is Gematria Emunah Pshuta. Is that what does Purim represent? You take out your das and you mizdabik yourself to Eitz Chaim, which is what Emunah Pshuta. That's what all Purim's all about, that Nekuda of Emunah. Not that we're by Purim now, but we're by Purim now, Lemaisa, you know? Right? But that's exactly what it represents. It represents being mizdabik to Eitz Chaim. So now I go like this, yeah? If you take Emunah, you spell Emunah b'miloy, which means that you fill up Emunah. So Aleph is the miloy of Aleph is Lamed Pei. The miloy of Mem is Mem. The miloy of Vav is Yud Vav. The miloy of Nun is Vav Nun. And the miloy of Hey is just Yud. It's Gematria 232. It's Gematria Eitz HaChayim with the Kola. Is that what? That the Shlemus of Emunah. The filling up the Emunah is what? That's the Eitz HaChayim. That's being mizdavik the Yetzer Chaim. The shleimus of Muna, that's where we have to be. They don't realize, like Reb Nachman says in Sichas Ran, he says, by the world around us, by the base medrash around us, Emunah is a very small thing. But by me, but by our little chaver over here, Emunah is an inyan hachigdola. It's the biggest inyan of all. It's all the ala kol Emunah. That's the nekuda of it. Like we know from the Ramban, I think it's the Rambam says that what mitzvah is Emunah? He says it's not a mitzvah. Why? Because it's kol all the mitzvahs. You can't do any mitzvah without Emunah. So Emunah is how deep Emunah is and how much that brings us to something. So just to try to close out a little bit, we read a parable from Rabbeinu. Listen, kind of, I read this last night. It's mamish. I was thinking about it the whole day. I was by the Kaisel today, and I walked back a little bit to get to an area where I can get back here. And I was just going over this, and it gave me such a chias. Listen carefully, Chevra. There was once a poor man who earned a living by digging clay and selling it. Once, while digging clay, he discovered a precious stone, which is obviously worth a great deal. Since he had no idea of its worth, he took it to an expert to tell him its value. Right? He wanted to figure out how much it's worth. The expert answered, "No one here will be able to afford such a stone. Go to London, the capital, and there you'll be able to sell it." The man was so poor that he could not even afford to make the journey. He sold everything he had and went from house to house collecting funds just for the trip. Finally, he had enough to take him as far as the sea. He then wanted to board a ship, but he did not have any money to pay for the ship. He went to the ship's captain and showed him the jewel. The captain immediately welcomed him aboard the ship with great honor, assuming that he was a very trustworthy person because he had such a beautiful jewel. He gave the poor man a special first-class cabin and treated him like a wealthy personage. The poor man's cabin had a view of the sea, and he sat there, constantly looking at the diamond and rejoicing. He was especially particular to do this during his meals, since eating in such good spirits is highly beneficial for the digestion. Right? So he'd sit always looking at his diamond 24/7 on this boat trip. Then one day, he sat down to eat with the diamond lying in front of him on the table where he could enjoy it. Sitting there, he dozed off a little bit. Meanwhile, the mess boy came and cleared the table, shaking the tablecloth with its crumbs and the diamond into the sea. When he woke up and realized what had happened, he almost went mad with grief. Besides, the captain was a ruthless man who would not hesitate to kill him for his fare. Chevra, he just had a diamond, and now this diamond's mom's took everything. He sold everything for this diamond, and his diamond's gone. Having no other choice, he continued to act happy, as if nothing had happened. The captain would usually speak to him a few hours every day, and on this day he put himself in good spirits, so that the captain was not aware that anything was wrong. The captain said to him, "I want to buy a large quantity of wheat, and I want to be able to sell it in London for a huge profit. But I'm afraid that I will be accused of stealing from the king's treasury. Therefore, I will arrange for the wheat to be bought in your name. I will pay you for your trouble." The poor man agreed, but as soon as they arrived in London, the captain died. The entire shipload of wheat was in the poor man's name, and it was worth many times as much as the diamond. Rabbi Nachman concluded, the diamond did not belong to the poor man, and the proof is that he did not keep it. The wheat, however, did belong to him, and the proof is that he kept it. But he got what he deserved only because he remained happy. What a meisa, no? What a story. So what do we take out from that story? You see two things. One is that the guy, when the craziest thing happened, that his whole life's fortune was lost, what happened? He remained happy and he remained Be'emuna. And, you know, maybe, I don't know. The nekuda is that what? That even when things that don't look like it's something that we want, the nekuda is that what? Simchas pull everything. When we remain besimcha, that's how you have Emunah. Right? Because chiyas is called simcha. We have to be simcha. If you're not besimcha, you're not, like we read from Menachem the other day, that simcha is called kedushas abris. And if you don't have kedushas abris, you're dead. That's pagan abris is mamish misa. Yeah? So the kud is that when you're with simcha, your chayim is chayim. And the Nachman says the same thing in Sichas Ran. He says a person with amunah versus without amunah is that a person with amunah, his chayim is chayim. A person without amunah, his chayim is misa. He's not living at all. So we see because of amunah and simcha, he's able to pull this. So if you take the gematria of amunah, it's 102. Simcha is 353. What's the gematria of simcha plus amunah? 353 and 102.
455.
455 is matcha tamid with the kola. Tamid. Yeah? Why? Because these two midos of simcha and emunah are things you need mamish tamid. You can't be without it. Like we know from Rabbi Nachman, he says, what? Mitzvah gidol lios b'simcha? Tamid. Right? And we know from like we say every day, emes v'emunah chok v'lo yavar. So you can't be without emunah for 1 second. So you see, emunah and simcha are things you need tamid. So Tamin, let's go back to the beginning of a Jew's life. It starts in Shulchan Aruch. So you look at the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch, we quoted this another night, Shivisi Hashem Negdi Samit. Okay, so that's Tamid, any of Tamid. So what do we see here? So we look first, quotes on the footnote here, from the Ramban. Sorry, not from the Ramban. The Be'er Halacha says what? That if a person wants to be Mekayim, Shivisi Hashem Negdi Samit, you have to have six things on your mind constantly. So what's the first of those six things? Lahamin Bahashem. To have Emuna Bahashem. When you have Emuna Bahashem, that makes you what? Shivisi Hashem Negdi Samit. So that's Emuna. Tamid. Ubenosaf laze yachol lekayim bechol rega mitzvos hasimcha. Al shezach liyos yudu lekayim mitzvosa. Orchos tzadikim says the what? Through simcha, you're also mekayim mitzvah. Shivisi Hashem negdi samit. Which is a proof for us one that to be mekayim that mitzvah tamidius. That's something that's tamid that comes through what? Emuna and through simcha. And without that, there's mamish nothing. You can't have anything without that. Because with these two is how you have Hashem in front of you all the time, from the mice we just read. So just to finish off with being mechazik ourselves, so we speak about emuna, we speak about simcha. I don't have it in front of me, but the Arizal says, you want to know what one of the klalim for tefillah is? He says it's an iser to daven be'atzvas. He says you're not allowed to daven be'atzvas. You have to daven with sadness. You have to daven with simcha. He says if you don't daven with simcha, you're not allowed to daven. You're not even allowed to daven. But you have to be the simcha. Right?
You're having like a bad day, you start daven with simcha.
Right? So nekuda is that what? Is that you have to be simcha. What does it mean? Simcha is also represented that Shvira Salev is also simcha. The Iker simcha comes from Lev Nishbar. There's a huge difference in Lev Nishbar, like a broken heart, right? Between Atzvos. Is that Atzvos is depression. You have to be the simcha in it. Right? And we know another kuda is that it goes like this. Is that when it says that Klai Yisrael was battling versus Malik, it says when was Klai Yisrael winning? Whenever Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were up. So what do the psukim say about Moshe Rabbeinu's hands being up? It says that he yadav emuna. It says his hands were emuna. And Unkelus reads that, they were approaching but slow. Is that his hands were spread out in tefillah. Which means that what? That emuna is a code word for tefillah also. Right? So we spoke about emuna and simcha are both what? They're both part of tefillah itself. So listen to what Rabbi Nachman says here in Shtaplus HaNefesh, Os Mem Tes. Iker HaKalei Zayin Shal Ish Yisrael Hu HaTefillah. The Iker weapon for a Jew in this world is tefillah. V'chol HaMelchamos Shetarach Adam Lechbosh Hein Melchemes HaYitzahara Hein Shara Melchamos. Whatever Melchama you're in, whether Ruchnis or Gashmis, Im Hamonim V'chokim HaKol Edei Tefillah U'misham Kol Chiyuso. And that's where all your Chiyus comes from. Like we said, tefillah L'kel Chayai Al Kein Misha Rotzel is close to Kedushas Yisrael B'emes. A person who wants to really be part of Kedushas Yisrael, Tzarch laharbos v'tfilos v'bakashos v'sichos bein levein kono ki ze ikar klei zayin l'natzeach l'mechama. Because that's the ikar klei zayin that we have. That's the ikar weapon that we have. And just to read one more paragraph, v'ima adam, something I think we have a lot. We spoke about before, right? That sometimes we daven so much and we don't see any payers from it. We don't see anything come after it. So we think, what, our tfilos aren't going anywhere. Hashem doesn't care about us. We just daven for no reason. V'ima adam marba v'tfilah v'zbordus yamin v'shanim harbei. Even if a person davens and does his sportiness for a very long time, you still see yourself that you're very far. It looks like Hashem doesn't even care about you. He's hiding from you. He doesn't listen. You have to have full emuna. And he comes, and not just that he listens carefully to every single word you say. Shall kol tefila v'tchina v'sicha v'inshim dibor never chasfam. Not one little dibor is ever lost. Rak kol dibor v'dibor osa roshim l'mala me'at mo'ora rachma v'izbarach b'chol pam. And you're mo'ora rachma in every single word. Ah, adayin lo ningmar b'inyan ha'kedusha shu tzarach l'chnos bob. But the nekuda is that what? But Hashem wants you to keep doubting. Why? Because He wants to know that you're not done. You could choose to build a small house, and that could be good. Or you could just build a ginormous palace in Shemayim, right? And with your tefillos, that's what you're building. It's called the binyan. Uvir bos hayamim vashanim, and through the many days and years, im lo yet tipesh, if you're not a fool, lo yipol b'dayta b'shum ofen b'olam, and don't give up easily, yisgabri v'yischazik, and you mamish mechazik yourself, yisamitz v'tefillah yoser v'yoser, and you work in your tefillah more and more, as I day riboy tefillos, yikamru rachma yisbarach. Hashem is going to show His mercy upon you. Ach Hashem Yisbarach Yifne Elav Yarlo Panav Yimali Chetzo Ritzon BeKoach Atzdik Amitim Yikaveu Barachim V'Chem Agdola. Hashem is going to mamish such rachmanis on you. The nekuda is what we have to be mamish strong in our tefillah. It's just something that it's very easy to see this here right now, that during this week, there's a lot more learning going on, which is geschmack, and for sure we need that. But you know what happens when there's so much learning going out, and people start taking charts of every word? Check, I learned 5 words today. Check, I learned 50 words today. You know? When people start doing that, you know what happens? Oh, I can't daven shachar, I have to learn. And you know what happens? You throw away your neshama and you build one big moach that's going nowhere. If there's no tefillah in your Baruch Hashem, there's no chiyas in your Baruch Hashem. It's called gadol number one. That people could think, I could be a big Talmud Chacham here. I could be learning all day. You know what? We have no chiyas b'chlal. There's no chiyas at all.
Is that why it's to learn during
the Chazar Shas? It could be. The Zohar even says that Chazar Shas is even bigger than tefillah itself. The Zohar says that. The Kud is that we have to realize that what? That tefillah is called the Klei Zayin of Mashiach. It's called the Bas Melech of Hashem. It's called David HaMelech. David HaMelech is called what? We say like this. We say in Halal every Rosh Chodesh, or tell him say Even Masu Habonim Haisel Rosh Pina. So who's that talking about? So the Medrash says, I heard Rumi says, Even Masu Habonim is the stone that everyone said was nothing, right? Who is that? It's David HaMelech. David HaMelech thought everyone made fun of him, right? When he went up with Goliath, everyone said, what are you doing here? When Shmuel came to choose who was going to be the next king, and Yishai said, maybe it's his son. No, not him. He said, okay, I have one son in the back who's like a little nothing. He's a little, you know, he's a little loser. Evan Masa Bonim, the one who we thought was nothing, Haisla Rosh Pina, goes to the highest of places. That's why David HaMelech called himself Anit Feel, like he said. Why? Because David HaMelech is the one who everyone rips on this world. But what? Haisla Rosh Pina. He goes to the top. When a person looks at Tefillah and puts his kofos in Tefillah and says that what? That right now is Zman Tefillah. I daven now. When I daven, I don't have anything else open. That's it. When I'm davening, I'm here. Why? Because just as I nechashiv Torah a lot, why is Tefillah any different than that? Why is it any different than that? We need one without the other. Mamash is nothing. If you have Torah without tefillah, it's nothing. And if you have tefillah without Torah, it's also nothing. That's Klal Rishon number one, beginning of the Likutei Maran. It's all about the need. You're making yichud of Torah and tefillah. That's why, right? We say Rosh Hashanah is the Klal for a whole year is Rosh Hashanah. But everything we do the whole year comes from Rosh Hashanah. Right? It's a basar reisha gufagar. Everything goes after the Rosh. So what do we do on Rosh Hashanah? Is that we know that the shofar represents a tefillah. Right? Shofars are tefillah. For example, I'll tell you remez. If you take tefillah b'miloy, right, write this out. So tefillah is taf pei lamed hei. So taf, who's got it? You got this, right? Taf is taf yud vav. It's 416. Yeah? Pei is pei yud, it's 90. Lamed is 74. And hey is hey aleph is 6. So what's gematria? 416 plus 90 plus 74 plus 6. It's a miloy of tefillah. Plus, what do you got?
416, 90, 74, 6.
Yeah, what do you got? 586. 586, match exactly shofar. Is that shlemus or tefillah is shofar. As we know, shofar is the greatest weapon versus satan. So, right? Oh, so I'll get that in a second. So that's nekuda. What tefillah is that inyan? So it goes like this. Where do you blend halacha, Shulchan Aruch brings down? Where do you blow the shofar from? Where do you blow the shofar from? No, what makom?
The bima.
Which bima? The bima you relay in Torah. Why? Because you make a yichud of Torah and tefillah. Okay? That's one nekuda. What else do you do in Musaf? What do we do in Musaf on Rosh Hashanah? Malchias, Kronos, and Shofros. Where are those psukim from? They're from Torah and Vim Ksuvim. Also, I know we have Torah coming to Tefillah. So I saw from the Sefer, I totally forgot what it's called there. Meitler says it. So what? What is it? Is that on Rosh Hashanah itself, you make a yichud of Torah and Tefillah. Is that what? To show that what? They need to be together. The heart and the moa. Lev and the moa. Says Yosef represents the moa. Yehuda represents the lev. That's what we say every day in davening. Hu yiftach libeinu v'sarasa. What is it? It's not your moach that's opening up, it's your lev. To connect your lev. Right? Elokai netzor l'shon emiral, s'fasayim darmar, v'lim kalayim shizom, nafshik afra kotea, psach, levi v'sor asecha. That want the lev, which is tefillah, to be part of Torah also. Is that want not to look at one thing greater than the other. It's to mechazik both of them. To mechazik the emunah. Right? Because tefillah is called emunah. And if you learn Torah without emunah, you're not learning anything. Like the rabbi quoted before, the mashgiach quoted before, says he quoted the samtem. Right? So the samtem, so the Gemara says, what's the samtem? It says, samtem is a lashon of sam, it's a potion. Im zacha, sam chayim, im lo zacha, sam maves. that the Nakuda is that what your Torah could either be Chaim or could be Maves. And if you're not being Yonik from the Eitz HaChaim that you said as Amunah before, then where's your Torah going to? It's hard to even say it, but yeah. And it happens to a lot of people. A lot of people who learn a lot in yeshiva and cover the most dapim. You know where they are now? They're not learning. A lot of them aren't even keeping Shabbos anymore. It's to have a chiyus in what I'm doing. To make sure, again, not to say one bad thing about it. It's givali, everyone's learning, givali. But don't throw away tefillah. Don't throw away your ruchnius for this. Because what you have to build kalim right now. So yes, Gemara is givali, and you have to learn. Of course we need to, and you should learn a lot of dapim. But make sure what? That my emun is coming with that also. That my tefillah is growing with that also. And not that one thing is being left behind. Because like we saw from Rabbi Nachman before, he says, what? Ayide tefillah, yachol lavo lakol. He says, through tefillah, you can mamish come to everything in the world. Through emun also, you can have everything in the world. So b'schus the psukim read here, b'schus the chai yisar, b'schus Avram Vinu, Avram Zakin bo bayam, and bo bayam, bayam is gmatria emunah, to be zochet, to be mizdabik in emunah, to grow emunah, and tam yikre'el v'aniyenet, to know that Hashem has our back. And we just have to do our part here. We're working on emunah, working on tefillah, working on Torah, that's the biggest school to do that Hashem just covers our back. And the covered Shabbos Kodesh, b'zochet, that day, v'yom, kol Shabbos, l'mucha, l'chayolim, the covered Shabbos Kodesh.